Lesson number 10, Life, Death and Resurrection. This week's lesson deals with natural, physical, life and death. We can talk about spiritual death and natural death and spiritual resurrection and real resurrection. This week we're thinking about man and the nature of man. And our opening text comes to us in the context of the death of Lazarus. Lazarus has been dead 3 days. His sisters are distracted. They're frustrated that their friend Jesus hadn't come quickly. They had hoped that he would come and heal, but they are disappointed. And Jesus is talking to Martha, who is arguing against him, and saying to her, "I am the resurrection. I am." As he had told Moses in the long ago, "I am all the things I am. I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth," if you'd only exercise faith is the implication, "in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth will never die. Believest thou this?" Now, Martha was ready to look at the eschatological fulfillment of this in the last days. She didn't realize that Jesus was here right and now and capable of doing more than she could ask or think. And so, through her anguish, Jesus Christ was bringing comfort to mankind. Part number one, the making of man. And these texts are very important to understand the state of the dead. Man was made of the dust of the earth. When God breathed into his nostrils, he became a living being. God personally worked for him, personally formed him, personally breathed into him. When man sinned, God said in Genesis 3:19 that he should return to the dust. In Psalm 146:4, he returns to his earth. And in Ecclesiastes 12:7, he returns to the earth as it was. Now notice the revelation this gives of man's nature. Man was dust, personally touched with God's fingers, formed into a human being, into a human body, and infused with divine life, he became a living being. When he died, the spirit returned to God. The power to live returned to the giver. And the dust returned to the dust as it was. So it's just as sensible to say that man lived before God breathed into him the breath of life, as it is to say man lives after God withdraws that breath. So right there in Genesis, the state of the dead is clearly established. The dead know nothing. They have no existence apart from the breath of God. Part number two. As a result of sin, the harvest that was produced was the driving out of the man. Now this word "drive out" is used in the directive that God gave Abraham concerning Sarah. Cast out the bondwoman and the son. Drive her out. It's the Hebrew technical term for divorce. God divorced his bride. Why? Because they had sinned. Their eyes were opened. They realized they were naked. They did their best to cover their nakedness by the fig leaves garments that they made. They were afraid. They hid themselves. They accused each other. They blamed God. They had sorrow in conception. They had sweat in toil. And they were divorced. Now the rest of the Bible is God's attempt to woo them back. That's the whole plan of salvation. The whole thing begins with a divorce and ends with a marriage. They were kept from the tree of life, and in the marriage supper of the Lamb, they can eat of the tree of life again. Through the millennia, Satan has been perpetrating and perpetuating the lie. He told Adam and Eve, "Thou shalt not surely die." 2 Thessalonians, when the man of sin deceives, he says that they must believe the lie. The lie is that there is no such thing as death. Murder, death, sickness, all resulted from man's rebellion. Part number 3. What about death? That was the great question. If a man dies, will he live again? Well, Job realized that he would have to wait until his change came. And Paul describes that change that is to take place in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Well, what happens to him while he's waiting? Psalm 6, verse 5, there is no worship. Ecclesiastes 9, 4 to 10, there is no thought process. There is no physical activity. There is no emotional love or hate or envy. The very thoughts perish. And the dust returns to the earth as it was. And God takes to himself the power that enabled them to breathe. And so man looks in all the days of his waiting to the day of his judgment that will come. Part number 4, the life giver. As the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, so can the Son, whomsoever he will. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. Jesus Christ is the life giver. Not only did he assume human nature in order to infuse into it the divine element of grace and power through the Spirit to live a life of victory, but he also takes human nature to himself, that man who should have died might live forever. So Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." He is the methodology, he is the philosophy, and he is the power. How should we do it? He is the way. What should we think? He is the truth. And he is the life-giving energy that enables it. Once again, he says, "I am." Just as he had said in the beginning, "I am that I am," or "I cause to be what I cause to be." When he says, "I am the resurrection," I can cause a resurrection. When I am the way, I can cause you to walk in it. When I am the truth, I can cause you to comprehend it. When I am the life, I can share it with you. Part number 5. Resurrection. What is the resurrection? The resurrection is the restoring of the spirit of life to that human dust from which it was taken away. There are 3 instances of resurrections in the scriptures. The widow's son was on his way to the funeral. Jairus' daughter was still lying in the bedroom. Lazarus was stinking in the grave. Jesus had power to restore this life when he will. The greatest resurrection of all is Christ's own resurrection of himself on the resurrection morning. He is ready to share this life, this resurrection, the power of his resurrection, with whomsoever he will. Part number 6, his own resurrection. When Jesus accepted his resurrection, he accepted humanity forever. Let's never forget that. He became a man when he became Mary's baby. He continued a man when he was resurrected. He took humanity, three-dimensional humanity, with him to the Father on the resurrection day. And there are many infallible proofs. The soldiers testified, the angels testified, the women testified, the disciples testified, the two at Emmaus testified. Peter, Mary, 501 place, Paul, twice, John at Patmos, all testified that they had seen the living Jesus. So when we think about man's nature, we realize he's mortal, waiting for immortal life in Christ through the new birth, and then waiting for immortality through Christ in the resurrection of the last day.